Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We're outside freezing, but it's okay. We found a way to stand, so we actually, I think, are a little warmer than usual, but we're ready to do the show. We're both in semifinals. I'm in two semifinals, and then another one still hasn't started the playoffs. My keeper league has not started playoffs.
That's really weird.
Yeah, I know, and it's a 16-team league.
It's also cold and windy.
It's
windy.
You
can probably hear our despair in our voices.
Yeah, but that's okay. Well, I'm excited to be in the semis. If I win, Brandon is actually going to advance as well, probably, and we'll be playing each other in the finals, so that'll be fun. Well, that means we'll be very, very conservative next week.
Yeah.
Telling who we're picking up.
Really bad suggestions.
So to start the week, we're going to go over everything as we usually do. Obviously, emphasis on the playoffs here for people who are in, so not as deep of players, or as we'll try to stick to people who are most possibly available. But we'll start first with the weekend review. So we'll start with most impressive teams and players. I'll start first with Jonathan Toews, who I was very, very wrong about. Crazy wrong. Two games played, one goal, three assists, a +1, two power play point, and three shot on goal weekend for him. Not bad. The Colorado Avalanche impressed me a ton, also known as the Nathan MacKinnon Avalanches, pretty much, because without him, they're nothing. And now that he's back, they're killing it. Interestingly, with Colorado, sure, they've been losing, but they're actually 5-1-4 over their last 10. So even though they've been losing no T. They're still getting it done as far as points go. They just need to start getting Ws. But Nathan MacKinnon being back should help that a lot.
I wonder if they even want to make the playoffs.
I would if I were them. Just see what you're about. I mean, they don't have a goalie, though. That's their problem. They need goalies. Philip Grubauer is a goalie, and he really impressed me this last weekend. He's now getting tonight his third start in a row. He did a back-to-back, and he got one win and a shutout and only gave up two against Anaheim. So we'll talk more about him because he's actually, as preview, one of my pickup suggestions for the week.
Yep. For me, my first one, weirdly enough, is Erik Gustafsson. He's
Who is that guy?
1% owned. He's a defender on Chicago. We briefly talked about him a little bit when they were shuffling around the power play lines, but he never really became somebody to pick up. Well, this weekend he had in two games played, he had one goal, four assists, a +2, two PIMs, five shots, two power play points, two hits, and three blocks, which are good forward numbers.
Yeah.
Like very good forward numbers. In fact, he had the best numbers of the weekend for anybody.
Yep.
Which is really weird. I still wouldn't pick him up.
I still don't know who he is.
Yeah. He's still not on a power play. Well, actually, I guess he must be because he got two power play points, but
don't leave us a bad review for not knowing who Erik Gustafsson is.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to last.
No.
Next up, I actually have three defenders on here. So my next one is Morgan Riley. He only played one game, but he got three assists, five shots, two power play points, one hit, and two blocks. I had both him and Gardner, and I was really struggling because I needed to drop one of them because I was a little heavy on defense. And I decided to drop Gardner, and that really turned out to be the right move, at least for now. Next up, Seth Jones, another defender. One game played, he had two goals, +1, four shots, one game-winning goal, one hit, and two blocks. I'm really posting him here because he's not only has he had a great season, but really recently he's been absurd with many, many multi-point games. He's currently sitting at 46 points in 69 games. And to give you perspective, Werenski last season got 47 and 78, and people were like losing their minds. I mean, I know Werenski was a rookie. I have no idea what that noise is. You can try to figure that one out for yourselves. Werenski was a rookie, but.
What's going to be funny is we're laughing about this, but because we have a blanket over the mic, I don't think anyone can actually hear it, but it's a chainsaw that actually sounds like a massive farting machine.
I think it's a drill. Jeez. But anyway, so distracting. Seth Jones, 46 points in 69 games, having a career year for himself. And I feel like he hasn't got, I mean, I'm sure a lot of circles have noticed, but he hasn't gotten the recognition he deserves, at least from us. He's been doing amazing. Next up, Kari Lehtinen, been in net to replace Ben Bishop. Two games played, he got one win, so didn't get two, but still. A .946 save percentage, a .152 goal against average, which is really insane considering we're talking about Kari Lehtinen here, who, in my own head, for whatever dumb reason, I always thought of his name as Kari Lehtinen. And I was like, yeah, I'd never take him. And I had him last week. I was holding on to him to see if I wanted to hang on to him this week, which I decided against because I had the bye last week. But I think he's a good option anyway.
Yeah, he looks pretty good. And as far as least impressive teams and players go, I'll start with the Kings, who how do you get blown out by the Blues 7-2? And you can't score more than two on Jake Allen. I mean, come on. Have you seen his last games? Moving on, Vancouver as well. They're just not good. I mean, they really are not good. And you lose Besser, you get worse. And now Daniel Sedin is losing minutes, and Brandon Leipzig is on your top line and producing most of your points. Vancouver is looking really, really bad, and I don't think it's going to get any better from here on out.
Yep. For players, I'll take Connor Sherry first up because he's still about 25% owned. Two games played, he had no points, two PIMs, two shots, one hit, and three blocks. Just drop him. Whoever else has him at this point, it's time to let go. Next up, Derek Brassard. Two games played, no points, five shots, and one hit. His ice time in the last couple games is now below 15 minutes. In Ottawa, he was 18-plus every single night.
Yep.
I was worried that the trade was going to affect his fantasy value negatively, and it does seem like that's happening. So that's kind of a bummer. But, yeah, I'm not that high in him, so just consider him droppable probably. Next up, Mikael Granlund. This is a little contentious one, but it's a tough weekend because a lot of teams only had one game. So Granlund had two games played. He actually got an assist, two PIMs, two shots, two hits, and one block. The problem is there were six goals scored for Minnesota, and Granlund you'd expect to be part of more than just one. Coyle had like a three-point game last night or something, or Saturday, one of their games. And his peripherals, Granlund's peripherals also were not there. So for a guy as touted and as probably highly drafted as Granlund was, I expect better.
Yep. Especially, like you said, in those peripheral departments.
Yep. I'll take us right into the players potentially returning from injury. We have a handful this time. First up, we have Antti Raanta. He's got a lower body injury. He seems to be getting close, but I don't think they're going to rush him because Kemper's been playing pretty well over there. I assume he's going to be back midweek. Brad Marchand, I'm kind of listing here as a hopeful. He has an upper body injury. They said they're going to reevaluate him Tuesday, but it sounded better than worse, but I'm not quite sure. When I first heard about it, it seemed like he almost certainly would go Tuesday, and now it seems like they went into detail on what the collision was with Duclair that put Duclair out, also injured Marchand, and it made it sound a little worse than maybe was originally thought, but I guess we'll see on Tuesday.
Yep.
Next up, David Backes coming back from his suspension on the 15th, which is tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow. Yep.
Then we have Ben Bishop, who has a knee issue. This is a maybe, but he has been skating only without pads so far on Sunday. So if he does come back, likely it'll be towards the end of the week, if at all.
Yep.
Next up, Oscar Klefbom with a shoulder injury. He's ruled out until midweek, but could really be back anytime after that if you still like him, which I...
Hardly anybody should.
Suck. Like, his peripherals all seem like he should be better than he is. But next up, Kevin Shattenkirk is another maybe here with a knee injury. He's been doing morning skates, but they haven't really given much more of an update since then.
Yep.
Again, with the Rangers, they have no reason to rush him at this point. They could spend more time with Doug Gilmore? Doug?
Yeah.
Is his first name Doug?
Or is it John Gilmore? I think it's John Gilmore.
Okay, John Gilmore. And Brady Shea and those guys.
Yeah.
Also, Carter Hutton with his neck injury seems to be on the mend now. And then two more here. Austin Matthews coming back from a shoulder injury pretty soon. And Riley Smith with an upper body injury seems to be approaching a return as well.
Yep. And then for last week's pickup suggestions, we'll review them real quick. My first one was Daniel Sedin.
It's Doug Gilmore.
Is it Doug Gilmore? Yep. Damn it.
It's your team.
I know.
Shameful.
I know. I haven't been paying attention to them as much this season. It's just, I get one season off pretty much. Daniel Sedin, four games played, one assist, four PIMs, six shots on goal, two hits, and one block. Not as much as I expected. To be fair, his minutes dropped significantly after I suggested him, so whatever, but I'm definitely disappointed there. For goalies, I said Korpisalo or Khudobin. I actually ended up playing both of them. Korpisalo had two games played, two wins, a 2.49 goals against average, and a 9.23 save percentage. Khudobin, not as good. Two games played, one win, four goals against average, and an 8.92 save percentage. So Korpisalo clearly the better one there. Nick Bjugstad, of course, I could not recommend this guy. He was on fire.
Yep.
Three games played, four goals, a plus four, 14 shots on goal, two hits, and one block. That guy is very close to must add. Depends on how he kind of does this week, I think. Especially for finals week.
I never call anybody a must-add.
He's getting there. He's getting very close to a must-add for me. Nick Holden, 4% owned at the time. Three games played, two assists, one power play point, one shot on goal, three hits, and four blocks. Terrible peripherals, but he got assists. So there you go. And got
he's
scratched.
He's also on the second power play now.
Yeah, I saw that. That's interesting. Derek Brassard as well was a suggestion, but like you said, the biggest worry there was what happens if he doesn't get the minutes that he usually got, and that kind of ended up happening. So, he had, like you said, four games played, a minus one, eight shots on goal, and one hit. And lastly, Brian Rust, who got injured and got no points.
Yep. I suggested Bo Horvat, who in four games played, he had two assists, minus two, two pims, six shots, three hits, and three blocks, which is bad. Pretty disappointed, but I guess it's just Vancouver at this point. Besser not being there probably affects him more than it seems.
Yep, definitely.
Same goes with Alexander Edler, who had no points in four games, but he had seven shots, which is not great, 11 hits, which is pretty good, and 17 blocks, which is fantastic. So at least his peripherals made up for it if you're in a bangers league.
Yep.
Next up, I mentioned Derek Stepan, which worked out pretty well. 27% owned on Yahoo. Stepan, why do I struggle with his name? It makes no sense. Anyway, four games played, one goal, two assists, minus one, seven shots. Again, why? Shoot more. One game-winning goal, one power play point, three hits, and six blocks. Yep. So pretty decent week for him. Kind of what you'd expect for him. 3 points in four games is about par for the course. And then lastly, I mentioned Mikhail Backlund, 25% on Yahoo at the time. In four games, he got one goal, minus one, four pims, 13 shots. So he actually had the shots, just didn't get the points. One hit and two blocks. So suggestions, not very good. Yep. But
that's how it is though right now. Tough playoffs.
At this point.
Like I really did feel good about all our suggestions and maybe two panned out. Like that's just kind of how it works out.
Yep.
Moving on to players and teams to keep an eye on for this week. We'll start first with the schedule. Teams that play four games are going to be Anaheim, Carolina, Colorado, Dallas, Detroit, Edmonton, Los Angeles, Montreal, Ottawa, Philadelphia, San Jose, St. Louis, Vegas, Washington, and Winnipeg. And teams with two or less games, Buffalo, and the one that hurts a lot if you have people, players from this team, it's going to be Pittsburgh. And it's back-to-back.
Yeah.
So that really sucks. And teams that play off days are going to be Anaheim, who plays Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday.
They've got the best schedule hands down as well.
Easily. Detroit, who plays Monday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. San Jose, who plays Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Vegas, who plays Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
Yep, so they got that same situation where they avoid every heavy game slate.
Yep.
So the Knights, the Golden Knights and the Ducks, teams target.
Yeah, I like the Golden Knights a ton. And especially if you have goalies, that's good. Their matchups are actually pretty good this week. Washington plays Monday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. And then lastly here for the actual suggestions on players to pick up, I'll start with Philip Grubauer, who I said I'd talk about a little bit. He's played in Washington's last three games and has only given up two goals against, which was against Anaheim. And in that, they lost 3-1, one of them being an empty netter. So he's really kept him in it. Paul Stastny is at 40% owned, and he's tough to recommend if you have positional eligibilities because he's only a center. He's got nothing else. And so at this point in the season, you've probably got your centers locked up if you're in the playoffs. And it's tough to pick up a guy that's only a center. But if you can make him fit, he's worth it. Or if you have forwards only, he's worth it. He has 7 points in six games since joining the Jets. And with Line A playing as hot as he is, and Stastny being on that line, he's really worth it. And in the meantime, too, keep in mind that with Scheifele out, that line is essentially the first line right now. So until Scheifele comes back, Stastny's value is even higher. And a 1% owned guy here for you, Frank Vetrano. Brandon huffed in a little bit. I don't think he fully agrees with Frank Vetrano, but here's the reason. He was traded for a third from Boston. And in Boston, he showed that he was okay. He had a debut goal and five shots on goal. He was injured with an ankle. He returned from an ankle injury, so he was out for a while. And the reason I like him the most is he's now slotted on the second line with Trocheck and Huberto. And if you have positional eligibility, he's a center, left wing, and right wing, which is insanely valuable as you go into these final 2 weeks. So he's someone to keep an eye on who's on a very, very good second line in Florida and might get power play time as he heats up. Adam Larsson is my last one at 12% owned. Just got back from his dad's funeral in Sweden, and he got an assist.
Obviously a bangers league.
Yes, bangers league suggestion. Over the last 30 days, he's averaging five hits, two shots, and an assist every three games. So pretty much, I think the barometer of who you should expect from him, he is pretty much Borjatski 2.0. Almost exactly.
No pims, though.
No pims. Less pims, but pretty much everything else exactly like Borjatski. So he's somewhat interesting, especially if you're in a bangers league. You get to pretty much assure yourself hits.
Yep. So I'm going to start off with Kari Lehtinen. 34% owned. He's got easy matchups this week at Montreal and at Ottawa if he plays those games. I think the Montreal one has a back-to-back on it, so you want him to be on the Montreal side of it. Or yep. One of them does. But he's been great lately, so it's worth an ad if you need a goalie. I'm actually taking a very brazen approach and only running one goalie this week because I have Gibson, and Gibson's... I was going to mention the matchups for Anaheim. I'll just kind of segue into that. Anaheim has a homestand, so four home games, all on off days, and it's St. Louis, Vancouver, Detroit, and Jersey.
Jeez.
It's like perfect. Exactly what you want if you're holding Gibson. I think the only team that has an easier week by like left wing locks, like weak statistics things is Washington.
Not Washington. Someone has Arizona, yep. Vancouver, and somebody
San Jose has Detroit, Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver, which is not bad. And then, the easiest one here is Los Angeles, yeah. who has Vancouver, Arizona, Detroit, and the Devils. So it's very similar to Anaheim's matchup, except you're swapping out St. Louis for Arizona.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back into the words I was saying before that. Next up, Anthony Mantha. This is a play for avoiding Saturday, really. I actually made this ad. He's 38% owned. I don't totally love him, but he did have that four-point game last week. I think he's probably the best option available in Detroit for bangers leagues, which we are. So I like him in that I can avoid Saturday and I don't have to bench anybody. Next up, this was a similar reason, except I don't avoid Saturday on this one, but Montreal plays three games before Saturday. So there's a good look here at Brendan Gallagher, 51% owned. This is higher than we'd usually recommend, but he seems to be going on and off waiver wires constantly in our league, and I think that might be a thing in a lot of leagues.
Yep.
He's got not the best matchups either. They're at Columbus versus Dallas versus Pittsburgh and then at Toronto. But Gallagher's been pretty consistent with his peripherals and decent point production for the last while, and he's got top line, top power play now. So I like all that stuff. And you could just grab him and then drop him because they play Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So you could drop him and grab two more starts on the weekend and avoid Saturday if you want to.
That's smart.
Yep. So that makes Montreal an interesting option. And last up, Tomas Hertl, 29% owned. San Jose, as I just mentioned, have pretty easy matchups with versus Detroit, at Edmonton, at Calgary, and at Vancouver. And they also play all off days except Saturday. So Hertl should be easy to slot in, except for obviously Saturday, but you still get three starts out of him.
Yep. And then moving on to top overall picks for tonight, I'm going to start with Alexander Barkov versus Ottawa, because Ottawa is garbage and Florida is good. Jeff Carter versus Vancouver, because Jeff Carter has been fantastic. And then lastly, Patrick Laine, who's at Washington. You take us through your tops and your values.
Sure. I'll start off with Vincent Trocheck versus Ottawa. And then I like the top line stack here of Evander Kane and Joe Pavelski versus Detroit. And then for my value picks, they're all defensemen. I like Cam Fowler versus St. Louis because he's somewhat cheap. I think he's a good option. Jeff Petrie at the Blue Jackets, who's only $4,500, which is a steal, I think. And then last up, Doug Gilmore versus Carolina, who we just mentioned. He's super cheap at $3,800, and he gets top power play time, so
and,
I like him.
Yeah. And the Rangers have Carolina's number for a while now. And then for my value picks, I'm going to start with Drew Doughty, who for some reason is, I think, $5,400 or $5,500 versus Vancouver. He got a goal in his last game. I don't know why you wouldn't take that. Ryan Spooner versus Carolina, who's been red hot. And like I said, the Rangers have Carolina's number. And lastly, Frank Vetrano versus Ottawa, one of the cheapest guys, but you get that second line, which is interesting in Florida, and they score a lot, and Ottawa can't stop the puck. So before we freeze, we're going to get out of here, and Brand's going to go wreck himself with Indian food.
Yep.
Other than that, thank you for listening, and we will see you on Friday.
Yep, thanks for listening.